This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. We're joined now by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Make sure you check out the Stinkin' Truth podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And a good afternoon, Mark. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing good. We're trying to figure out now, here we're live in New Orleans, who's going to win this game. I've been leaning just Patrick Mahomes, but in the lead up to this game, I'm starting to feel like the Eagles are the hungrier team, and maybe the Chiefs are kind of complacent. What do you think about that?
Well, the Chiefs are going for a three-peat. It's never been done before, so I don't think there's any complacency with the Chiefs. I do think that the Philadelphia Eagles, from a roster standpoint, are a better roster. I think I can make a very compelling argument that if I went, position by position, so if I went offensive line, they've got a better offensive line. If I went running backs, they got a better running back core or group. If I went wide receivers / tight ends, receivers in general, I would say Philadelphia, with A.J. Brown, with Devontae Smith, with Dallas Goedert, is better overall than that of Kansas City. Now, I flipped it on the defensive side. I'd say, hey, the defensive line, maybe it's a push, but either way, it's pretty damn close. Linebacker core, I'd give it probably to Philadelphia, and the back end secondary, I'd give it to Philadelphia. So I think you make a compelling argument that the Philadelphia Eagles are just a more talented roster. But the bottom line, if I go coaching staff standpoint, if I go quarterback play standpoint, critical play, intelligence of play, all those different things, and experience, you got to go with Kansas City. So it has all the matchup or all the makeup of a just an unbelievable game that we're going to get, to witness. And so I can make a compelling argument either way and probably convince myself, but I'm leaning toward Philadelphia.
Right on. It's Mark Schlereth, and of course, we're once again in a radio row without the Cowboys. The news late last week, the hiring of Clayton Adams as the OC, was the offensive line coach with Arizona and credited for some pretty sophisticated run schemes. What do you have for us on Clayton Adams and what he could bring to this run game with the Cowboys?
Well, listen, Clayton is a good dude, man. I talked to him a bunch during the season because I did a bunch of Arizona games. Very good. In-depth, the counter run game, the counter with the center pull. They do some pretty good stuff, and they execute the run game very well. Of course, they got a running back that really gets and understands how to get downhill, really understands how to be, super aggressive and really has great vision, great contact balance, all those things. But they did a very good job running the football. Very good. And I think Clayton did a phenomenal job with all that stuff. So good for him. Obviously, Brian Schottenheimer is a guy that that really understands the offense and is an offensive coordinator by trade. So that looks like to me a good combination between he and Clayton Adams to put this offense together in Dallas.
Can you run the ball like Shoddy in Seattle, successful with Russell Wilson, a lot of RPO action, similar deal in Arizona? Can you get all that stuff going with a more stationary quarterback that we assume Dak's going to be as he gets older?
Yeah, I mean, certainly you can use some of that stuff in the red zone and all that stuff. The RPO stuff doesn't require you. You know, it's the threat of run that really works in the RPO aspect of the run game. So it's not so much the quarterback having to do that stuff. You know, you're just trying to influence, you're trying to essentially influence one guy in the RPO game. If you can get that guy to move and step into the line of scrimmage, then you open up windows behind that guy. So, you know, there's a very effective way to get that done with multiple schemes. Obviously, you can do it with some zone stuff, but you can really do it in the gap. In the gap stuff with the counters and the powers and all that stuff. So you certainly can run that stuff even if your quarterback's a little bit more stationary.
Stink, who we talk about Mahomes a bunch, Andy Reid, what Nick Sirianni's been doing. Is there an under-the-radar coach or player that you think is going to have a massive impact on this game that maybe does not get the accolades that they deserve?
Under-the-radar player. I it's hard for me to sit there and say, hey, this guy's under the radar because, you know, I look at Philadelphia, obviously their run game.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, what they've been able to do... with their offensive line. Last week in the NFC Championship game, man, Landon Dickerson came in and started at center. They put a backup left guard in that I don't even know the guy. And the guy was dispensing justice. And then, Landon Dickerson gets hurt, and Cam Jurgens, who dressed but had a back injury, came back in and played. And they just continue to do their thing, man. They are great up front. I don't know that there's really an under-the-radar guy. You know, the one guy that I think is – a really good player is the backup tight end. What's the kid's name? Is it Noah Gray that plays backup to the Travis Kelce?
Yes.
Is an outstanding player. Does a lot of dirty work for them. That often goes kind of unrecognized. And you always look at him as a guy that, hey, if Travis Kelce, does follow script and they win and he proposes to Taylor Swift and they go off into the sunset, I think they're pretty good, from the standpoint of who's going to be their next tight end. And I think the guy's got potential to be really good for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Do you like the tush-push stuff, or do you want them to get rid of that, Stink?
Well, listen, man, here's what I hate about it. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. So you can't do that. Like, in my day, we used to line up and do that PT field goal. So, that if you lined up on defense and said, okay, we're going to meet force, and you had linebackers putting their hands on defensive linemen's backsides and pushing them into that line of scrimmage like the offense does, that would be illegal. Defensively, you can't do that.
Right.
So if it's a safety issue for the defensive side to do that, why is it not a safety issue for the offensive side to be able to do that? Like the lack of consistency, the lack of, calling it fair blows me away. So why is that not a penalty on the offensive side if it's a penalty on the defensive side? If safety is truly the key factor, then why are we allowing it to happen? So to answer your question, no, I don't like it. Like, I don't think it's fair. And all the rules are bent to the offense anyhow. But if it was one of those things, because when I came to the league, I was actually – I was actually, as a rookie, we used Mike Tice, tight end for the Seahawks for many years, big 6'7" Neanderthal tight end, and I got behind him on PAT field goal and drove him through the A-gap. Like, that was my job. And, you know, they made that illegal, I think, in 2002 or something. I can't remember the exact date, but If it's illegal, and you know, if it's illegal for the defensive side to do it, I don't understand why it's okay for the offensive side to do it.
Hey, Stink, here's a question for a guy that's played in Super Bowls and in won Super Bowls. How is the halftime and the length of the halftime for a player? You're so accustomed to playing, you know, in a game, and then you have your halftime, and then you're kind of going through all that. And then you have to endure this long halftime. Is it something that you liked, or is it something that was part of a nuisance for you?
I honestly, I didn't even pay attention to it. I didn't even it wasn't even a factor.
Okay.
You know, you walk in and you're so locked into what you guys are doing, and you sit down and you know you do whatever it is you do at halftime, and then you meet with the offensive staff, and we go through. You know, we used to put in. You know, we have the first 15 at the beginning of the game. So then we come back and reestablish our first eight as an offense. Here's the first eight plays we want to run based upon what we got in certain formations, what we got defensive adjustments to motions and to formations and to personnel groupings. And so then we would put a list of things together. And I'm so dialed in and locked into that stuff that I didn't even recognize or acknowledge the length of halftime. It didn't even resonate with me.
Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Enjoy the week and the game, sir, and we'll catch up with you next season.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Cheers. There he goes, Mark Schlereth, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Make sure to check out the Stinkin' Truth podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So many of the X's and O's guys don't bring the hot take or the strong opinion that
right.
Mark Schlereth does.
Yeah.
It's just been an absolute a treasure, a blessing to get to chat with him all season long. In addition to the finest coming up next, Chief, how you doing?
We got the Jalen Hurts kryptonite, and the Rams are really trying to rid themselves of Cooper Kupp next year in the nation.